Grace, these questions have been incredibly clever, connecting them to Lewis. I don't think she's listening.
Y'all ready?
Yeah. Matt was just giving you a compliment.
Oh, I was off the... I ran to the bathroom, sorry.
I only compliment someone once, so...
You're listening to The Quizzical Papist. It's your extraordinary form bar trivia.
We have a pump.
Father brings the questions, and hopefully you have the answers.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And here's your host, Father Brad Doyle.
Hey guys, welcome to The Quizzical Papist, your extraordinary form bar trivia. And as you listen to this, it is the great fast of Lent. But as I record, it is not, so I'm drinking beer. Woo!
Mardi Gras time.
My future self is like, oh, I wish I could have beer. But. It is on a Sunday, most likely, if you're listening, because these air on Sundays. So maybe your fast will be, maybe you can lessen your fast. You can back off. I'm actually going to ask that question later. But it's a special episode because we have the guys with Pints with Jack, a podcast that reads through C.S. Lewis works and talks about it. And one of them has a British accent, so it makes it all legit. So why don't y'all introduce yourselves and then say what you're sipping on. And whether as a Lenten, like what kind of person are you? Are you the go straight through all the way till Easter, can't go back on your sacrifice? Are you a Sundays are, you know, the day that you can do that because the bridegroom is present? You see where I stand already, but okay. So why don't we start with Matt?
Yes. Well, it's fantastic to be here. And I am drinking Blue Moon. And this is actually a privilege because to answer your other question, the type of person I am, I'm constantly like doing things of fast. So I'm doing the Exodus 90 right now, which for those who don't know means I can't do a lot of things, but you do get one thing back each week. And so for this podcast, I'm like, all right, I can't come on here and not enjoy a drink with you all. So I chose this Sunday to have beer back.
Absolutely. Charity rules, right? So you would have hurt my feelings.
Yes. That's exactly right. I didn't want to play that card, though, so I'm using it as my dispensation, the one thing I get back.
Okay, cool, cool.
But I should have used that. That would have worked pretty well, actually.
Where are you? It would have worked well. Where are you joining us from?
Yes, so I used to live in San Diego with David, which is where we got the start with Pines with Jack, and I have moved since then to New York, and now the last few months, I've officially more permanently back in West Michigan, Grand Rapids.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that the internets and technology is being used well in your podcast and for our podcast because you get to join us all the way across the country. We're all kind of like really far from each other. We're like in a triangle, you know, Michigan, San Diego, Louisiana. So, hey, David, why don't you introduce yourself? What are you sipping on? And what kind of faster are you during Lent?
So, hello, everyone. My name is David. It is wonderful to be here. I am drinking Lagavulin 16 from a Glencairn glass, which is a fancy whiskey glass that basically means all the smells go straight into your nose. And this is a particularly special one because this is this has our logo on, laser etched with lasers.
I should have given you my pint glass to use, Father Brad.
You should
absolutely
have. But you didn't, Grace. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's pretty cool. You actually have a special scotch glass with y'all's logo.
With that special. And if you support us on Patreon, you can get one too.
You know what you can get if you support us on Patreon? We'll actually, we'll buy a keg of beer for you and our logo will be on the keg of beer. So how about that, Pints with Jack? How about a keg with Quizzical Papist? I'm just joking.
I feel like it's the argument of quality versus quantity.
Couldn't agree more.
It's definitely like English versus American.
Neither are wrong. Let me tell you that. Neither are
you
wrong.
Sure?
But
that's true.
You're really sure?
I like to have a lot of quality. Okay. So thanks for joining. Hey, David, what's your fasting style? Like, what kind of person are you?
I am a Byzantine Catholic, so therefore the best kind. And our fasting is kind of intense. So actually, on the day that we're recording this is Meat Fair Sunday, which is everyone at the parish brings in meat dishes and we go into the hall after liturgy and gorge ourselves. And then next week, it's Cheese Fair, where we basically do the same thing with dairy products. And then after that, Lent is brutal. You basically vegan if you really want to do it. And even before I started attending a Byzantine church, I was always the kind of person that's like, you know, you don't lax on Sundays. It's like, come on, what are we doing here? Suck it up.
It's called the resurrection, David.
Definitely the Byzantines, the Eastern Church definitely gets us, and the Romans, we can be accused of being slightly, I don't know, what would we call us? Lax, maybe? But thanks for joining. We also have two people here in house. You've heard their voices already. Actually, we have like four people. One's really small and is drinking milk
and it's from really a bottle. Cute.
Alex is here, Fuselet. We also have Gabe and then Gabe's wife, Elizabeth. Sorry,
I got. My
I know.
Bad.
I always have I to really like pause before bad, I say so. Elizabeth.
I'm like, I know. I mess Elizabeth. That up all the time. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us. You're on my team. Are you excited?
Yeah, because usually I'm. Receiving end of your questions. So I'm really excited to. And I beat you the other night in card game. Yeah. So that was. Maybe we'll actually win together.
Have you guys played the Catholic card game?
No. What is this?
It is very funny. It's like apples to apples, but for millennial Catholics.
We actually.
Oh, this sounds fantastic.
It's amazing.
In San Diego, funny. we've done it. And I actually thought that one, it needs a Byzantine expansion pack. And why is it that Catching Foxes gets an expansion pack and Pints with Jack doesn't? So.
You need to reach out to somebody.
I know. I think you can probably make your own and send it to them.
I think I very much will do that.
We have the listenership. I mean, we're just as popular as the Crunch and Catching Foxes and Pints with Aquinas. It's just a matter of, you know, timing.
Gabe's laughing from the other room. Thanks, Gabe.
Elizabeth, what are you sipping on and what is your fasting style?
I'm sipping on Tiger Drool. It's an American Pale Ale
Sounds
by
gross.
Southern Craft. It just really, like, that's not, I'm like, oh, okay. But it's actually pretty good. I can't remember because it seems kind of funny because last Lent I was pregnant. So I'm like trying to remember back, like, man, I've been through a lot of Lents in my life. Why can't I remember this? I think it depends on like what the sacrifices. So if it's something that like needs to continue to like, that's something I shouldn't drop off, I continue doing it. But if it's like chocolate or alcohol or something like that, I'll definitely partake in Sundays.
Gotcha.
But yeah, last Lent I was pregnant. And so I think I did very minimal things.
I mean, you just gestated a baby. You gave up all your nutrition.
Offering your life for another. Fine.
Yeah. The last Lent was very different than all the other Lents I've experienced.
Well, I approve of that message. I mean, there was no way I was going to critique your pregnancy fast. I do know that much. I am a doofus sometimes, but I do know that much. Okay. And lastly, we have Grace, veteran Grace. I'll cut that out.
I can't believe you're still calling me that after all these.
People still call you that on Patreon.
Good gracious. I am drinking a Yingling out of my Pints with Jack glass.
Yes. Doesn't that look beautiful?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And
does it taste better?
Yeah.
Does it taste better when you pour it in?
It does. It tastes much better. Yeah.
Why did you have to ask that, David?
I just wanted the people at home to see the enjoyment on her face that we get to see.
Hey, you know why she's drinking Yingling? It's the oldest brewery in the United States. Founded around the time of when we kicked y'all out of America.
You didn't kick us out. We left. It was a mutual breakup.
This is a beer of freedom.
I don't know about that.
I'm just
that.
Messing. And I think it was actually founded in the 1800s. I just was trying to get a cheap shot in there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think I've said this on the podcast before, actually, last Lent when we were talking about this. But I'm a person who it depends on what it is that I gave up for Lent. So if I gave up something like social media, which is usual, then I don't want to do that on Sundays because then it ends up ruining my Sunday because then I'm like on social media all Sunday if I don't continue to give that up. So I won't do that. But if it's something like you know, beer or something, then I might do that on Sunday as a celebration.
It's literally exactly what Little said.
Oh, really? I was out of the room. I was getting my beer.
I was like, did you just copy it?
No, that's funny.
Listen, I don't know if there's an official canonical rule. I don't even know if those little penances are canonical, but I have a feeling that if you do it with devotion, you'll be fine. We just hope you have a happy Lent. So y'all ready for a warm-up?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
It's time for the introit.
I literally can't even write now.
The introit is just a warm-up. It's not 4 points, okay? Just getting the gears moving, okay? Getting the oil in the crevices. I don't know those words.
That sounds gross.
I don't know. Okay, Lent. So because it is Lent, we all know that we're trying to find different recipes on Friday for meat. And a lot of people go down to fish or cheese. The good grilled cheese sandwich with the basil tomato soup is always a good go, right? So I'm going to give you, I have a list here, and these are fish types or cheese types. And I'm going to tell you the name of it, and you have to tell me, is it a fish or is it a cheese?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I call this Father Brad is cheesy.
Can confirm.
Did you see how I fulfilled that prophecy with the very joke itself?
You did indeed. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
Okay, let's start with the guys on Zoom. Let's start with Pints with Jack. So let's go Matt. Matt first. We got Amber Jack.
Cheese.
Oh, I thought you said cheese. I was like, it's not that hard, dude. Amberjack is actually a fish.
Are you serious?
Yes, yes.
I'm thinking like pepperjack.
I know.
I have an unfair advantage being from Mobile.
Yeah. Grace is from the coast. You're in Michigan. I mean, there might be some...
Fish is not very good up here.
Yeah, you're not going to the sushi place too often, I guess. But
I think I've had sushi like 5 times this week.
You had it literally
five minutes ago.
Did you put that knowing that was going to sound like pepperjack?
Absolutely.
I would have guessed cheese.
Oh, my goodness.
I did.
You set the tone early here.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's go to David. Ayibe.
I'm going to say fish.
It is a cheese.
Ah.
I wouldn't have gotten that one.
So it's
I feel so much better.
You're justified. Okay, so Ayibe, this is interesting. Ayibe is an Ethiopian cottage cheese that is mild and crumbly. It has little flavor on its own and is often served as a side dish to soften the effects of very spicy food. I need some of that sometimes.
I do too.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Little. Blue Benedictine.
My first intuition would be cheese because I like blue cheese, but because of that, I'm going to say fish.
It is cheese.
No! I've been tricked. Double tricked.
Game theory, gal. By the way, I put these in alphabetical order, so there's no game theory. I didn't place them in order. Okay. This is Blue Benedictine. It is made by the monks of the Benedictine Abbey, a particular abbey of Saint Benoît du Lac. So I guess it's Saint Benedict of the Lake in Quebec. So it's a Canadian blue cheese.
I'm only just getting to like blue cheese. So
are y'all getting kind of hungry?
A little bit.
Stuffed, to be honest.
Grace just had sushi. So.
I did. I also had his queso that he brought him.
Okay. I'm going to go to me. No, I'm joking. I made him up. I would have gotten it right. Okay. Back. Oh, so Grace. To Grace. Here we go. Bonito.
It just means beautiful, doesn't it?
That is what it means.
What's more beautiful, Grace? Fish or cheese?
It's a good question.
Kind of have to go with cheese.
It is a fish.
Over four.
Man. Guys, y'all's Lent is going to be very sacrificial.
We had a
50-50 chance on these guys.
Okay, round two. Come on.
Round two. Here we go. Going back through. Matt, halibut.
Oh, well, that's the one fish I can cook well.
There you go. It is a fish. I threw you a softball after that.
All right, my whole family caught one of them when we were in Alaska, and I was the only cousin who didn't catch it. And my aunt's whole joke was everyone else caught it just for the hell of it.
We went fishing just for the hell of it.
I think that joke only works at a certain time and place.
Oh, well, does it, David?
Naming meaning what? Like what?
Place, kind of fish.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I'm wasted on you guys.
I'm a dunce, which means I'm really smart because dunce scotus. What's up? Anyway, so we're going to David. Limburger.
I'm going to go cheese.
Limburger cheese. I think it is smelly. Originated during the 19th century in the historic Duchy of Limburg, which is now divided among modern-day Belgium, Germany, and Netherlands. So it was kind of in the midst of all those. So yeah, Limburger sandwiches are a big deal, apparently. Good job. Elizabeth?
All right.
Mish.
Mish fish?
Yeah.
No, what is it? I didn't tell you. I just.
I know. That's what I was thinking. So I was like, oh, shoot. Is it going to be obvious or is it not? Cheese?
It is a sharp and salty product made by fermenting cheese for several months.
Wheat?
In salty whey. It's an important diet of farmers. Mish is often made at home from Arish cheese. I can't remember exactly where it's from. Okay. Grace. Nguri. N-G-U-R-I. So I'm just thinking I'm pronouncing that right.
Fish.
It is a buffalo milk cheese of Fujian province, China.
I figured it was Asian, but I thought maybe it was a sushi fish.
I would have guessed fish as well.
It's a leathery texture. That's pretty hard. It's like a ping pong ball size, and it's leathery in texture.
How can your cheese that's only so small?
What do you mean? You just pop it in your mouth. It's a bite-sized leathery ball of cheese.
But you can make cheese any size,
like,
right?
It's not like a fish that...
Well, I think they prepare it that way, you know?
Okay.
I mean, they could say that about
like those
boudin
little
balls.
Baby bell cheeses. I love those.
Be like, why do they make the boudin balls that size? Never thought about
that.
You
can have like little mozzarella balls that are like this big, but then you can have shredded mozzarella and, you know...
Next time you go to China, I want you to take it up with the government.
Next time.
Take it up with the government. Good luck.
Good luck. Okay, let's go one more time through because I got a couple more and we're just warming up. Okay, so Matt, Pompano.
I'm going to go with cheese.
It is a fish. sorry,
these are a lot
man.
Harder than I thought they were.
They are.
Be.
Because there are other languages, you know, it's just like, it's kind of hard whenever it's not just regular cheese or fish. Grace, bass. No, I'm joking. Not Grace. Elizabeth. Oh,
your
no.
Final answer.
David.
You skipped David.
I skipped David. David, Saratoga.
Saratoga. I feel like I should know this. I'm going to go with cheese again.
It is a fish.
Ah.
Saratoga fish, apparently from that off the coast of New York, maybe. I don't know. I just made that up. Elizabeth.
All right.
Sheep's head.
Cheese.
It's a fish.
Well, that's really unfair.
Why is that unfair?
Not unfair from you. I'm just thinking of whoever named this is like, what are you doing? Why would you name this fish sheep head?
Well, yeah, it's a popular fish.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Where?
Sheep's head. Yeah.
Oh, well, then
Matt is an outdoorsman.
Jay probably knows about it. He'd probably be like, oh, so
he's
going to
be bummed. He's
going to
be bummed, didn't you? That one's kind of popular. It's like halibut. You know?
I think I've caught like little small, I don't even know what they're called.
Birch.
Like little trash fish. Like that's
trash
caught,
fish?
Not actual trash fish. But like,
hey,
fish
he made it and it was good. Goodness gracious. You need some lint in you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, last one. Grace, can you take us home?
Maybe. No promises.
Trapista.
Cheese.
Trapista is cheese made by trappers. Traditional Bosnian semi-hard cow's milk cheese made by Trappist branch of the Cistercian order of the Maria Stern Abbey in Banja Luka, Bosnia.
That was a lot.
That was a lot of info, and I don't even understand what I said. But it is cheese made by Trappist, and I have a theory that if the world's gonna, I'm not the world ending, but like if there's gonna be like a nuclear fallout, World War III, like, you know, Canicle for Leibowitz style, I want Trappist. They can make beer, they can make cheese.
They wouldn't be able to repopulate the earth though.
You know, that's true. Well, we'd go down swinging. You know, we'd go down
party.
Eating cheese and beer, and just with the last monk,
cheers.
He'd just be like. He'd pour it out for his homies as a libation. He'd pop a ping pong sized ball of cheese in his mouth, and we'd go. It'd be over. Anyway, y'all feel warm?
Very.
Yep.
Okay. It's time for the Inquisition.
Are you ready for a war?
The Inquisition is made up of two rounds of five questions each. The first round is worth 5 points each. The second round is worth 7 points. And so you can make up ground in the second round. There's a middle point called the offertory, where there'll be a lot more points to get. And it ends with the extreme unction, which is your final grace, final mercy. You bet all the points you have, or any of the points you have. If you get it right, you get those points. If you get it wrong, you lose the points, and there'll be much wailing and grinding of teeth. Enough of that. I'm going to pass it off to my co-host and friend, Grace Crow. I get to play. And so the teams are going to be me and Elizabeth and David and Matt. Elizabeth, I think we should be, what should our team name
be? Yeah, y'all need team names.
You have an idea. I'm all for that idea because I'm very bad at coming up with team names.
Yeah, what are y'all going to be?
That's for Jack. What else? We already have a good name and a logo and laser-fresh glasses.
Again, can confirm.
That is true. The trapistas?
I like the trapistas.
Trapistas.
Okay, trapistas. Trapistas. That's hard to say. Trapistas versus Pints with Jack.
Grace, take it away. I'm not going to mansplain this.
Okay. Well, so how we're going to do this is a C.S. Lewis themed show. However, the questions will, although they are C.S. Lewis themed, they're not actually about C.S. Lewis or his works. So get ready.
I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. So how we do this a lot of times is we'll do some sort of category that will be, well, you'll see, somewhat related, but also somewhat not. Okay. So the first category, question one, 5 points, is Cupid and Psyche. Question is, born in 7th century Ireland, this girl became the patron saint of psychology after being martyred at the hands of her mentally ill father.
I think we're locked in.
Yeah, locked in.
So David and Matt, you guys can talk it out on the mic.
What do you think, Matt?
David, I've got nothing.
Well, there must be a clue in there, you know, about the fact that it's Cupid and Psyche. I don't know. The only saints I can think of that are related to mental health, I think it's Saint Dymphna, something like that.
I'm going to be of zero assistance here.
Let's go with that then.
All right, you guys locked in?
We're locked in.
All right, so Pints with Jack locks in with St. Dymphna. And what was y'all's name again? Trapistas?
Trapistas.
Trapistas.
It's like the
Trappist.
Trappist. Right? Trapistas. But it's also like when you swing from things, what is it called?
Trapeze
artist.
We're multi-talented.
We do that while juggling cheese.
I'd like to see that. What do you guys lock in with?
St. Dymphna.
Oh.
I think we did Dymphna too. And my thoughts were Dymphna sounds kind of Greek. And maybe that's what the whole Cupid and thing,
no,
but
I
maybe
think it's psychology.
It is psychology, but also Cupid is involved. So because of love and all that. So this is the story. You're both correct. But in case you don't know the story, her father went crazy because his wife died. And she, the daughter, Dymphna, looked just like her mother. And the father, whenever he was sort of spiraling out of control in his sadness, he scoured the country to find a woman as beautiful as his former wife, in order to marry her. And he couldn't find anyone. And then he turned his eyes to his daughter, who looked like his wife, and tried to marry her, force her to marry him. And of course, Dymphna resisted and refused and ran away. But he sent his guards after her. And eventually caught up with her, and her father cut off her head when she refused.
Whoa.
So, pretty intense.
Welcome to Lent.
Welcome to the show.
No, I did not know that. I just knew that she was the patron saint of
mental illness
and stuff like that, and psychology. And
I guess, so Psyche was the connection.
Right, gotcha. Right. But also, like, Cupid, because he wanted to marry her.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
And that comes from... Till We Have Faces.
Right, which is the current book on Pints with Jack.
Yeah, that was an impressive question, Grace.
And it's a book all about distorted love, which actually fits very nicely to that, because if you want to marry your daughter, I would say that's probably distorted.
Pretty distorted, yep.
Yeah, it's Eros gone awry.
Mm. Question number two, category is Eagle and Child. The question is, the eagle is an ancient symbol for John's gospel, which, quote, soars above the synoptic gospels with its high theology and emphasis on Christ's divinity. Which gospel is represented by the winged man as it emphasizes Christ's humanity?
The trapistas are locked in.
I was about to say my guess is Matthew, because that was always more the historical gospel.
Well, it does actually kind of depend on which early church father you talk to, but yeah, Matthew.
Okay. Trapistas?
Well, when I was younger, I think you see the images, so I think it comes from Ezekiel. Is it Ezekiel or Isaiah? Where the original, like the four
living creatures.
Living creatures.
And I thought it was like,
if I had to take a guess, I would say Isaiah, but that's just me guessing.
I think it's Ezekiel, because there's some crazy crap in Ezekiel.
There's some crazy stuff in other ones.
That's true. Like, but anyway, so there's four animals, and then obviously that's played out like the early church fathers, okay, the four evangelists, but they're winged creatures. And I always thought it was an angel that represented Matthew, but it's not. It's just a winged man. Mm-hmm. So it's Matthew is the gospel. And the other gospels are a lion for...
Not Luke, Mark. Because Luke is the ox. So it's...
Yep. Yeah, Mark. David got it. Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matthew is correct. That is, so he has, Matthew has the genealogy. So does Luke, but Matthew begins his gospel with the genealogy to show Jesus's relation to David, that he actually has this like human ancestry and all of that kind of stuff. So
I just want to say shout out to church architecture and art, because the parish that I grew up in had those four images, mm-hmm. And like the apse of the altar. And so I just, every Sunday going, and before I knew the symbolism of just to be able to look at the imagery and to have that in kind of my creative imagination. And so when I finally learned it, I was like, oh, it wasn't something foreign to me. It was like, oh, I know those images. And it was only later that I understood the meaning behind it, but just how powerful the beauty of churches can be, and how it's catechetical even when we're just sitting in Sunday. When you're a kid, you're just like, okay, looking at, you know, whatever there is to look at. And
well, yeah. That's why I plan on actually putting the four living creatures in the cry room so that the babies can really just soak it up in there, and they can.
Alex will be very pleased.
I'm just joking.
This is what I wrote my thesis on. Did you know that?
Yeah. Cry rooms?
No. Okay. No. You guys are doing good. Category is the four loves. The Archbishop of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, is the relatively well-known Charles Chaput.
Oh man, I knew that.
Who happens to be one half Native American. Appropriately, he is also a friar, which means brother, of which specific religious order?
This is terrible. I met him 3 months ago at a dinner. I should know this. He gave a talk.
No way.
And this didn't come up in conversation. Punts for Jack locked in.
Ooh, okay.
Talk it out.
I'm guessing because I have no idea.
Well, I thought there was, I know there was the Franciscan at some point up in the Northeast, started with an M. But I never knew Chaput was actually religious, one. When you hear friar, the easiest guess is what?
Franciscan.
But any mendicant order is, they're called friars. So I think technically like Dominicans
could be under there. My first guess was just Dominicans, and maybe that's just because I was listening to your podcast with the Dominicans. So
He could have been like a line order chef, you know, like a friar.
Boo.
What? we're the Trappists. We make cheese. let's say Dominican. Is that cool?
Yeah, that was my first intuition.
It's not right off the bat. It's kind of hidden. It's a little sneaky move by Grace.
All right, Trapistas lock in with Dominicans. Matt and David, what do you guys lock in with?
Well, since Matt had met him, I asked him what color his habit was, and he then basically listed every single color of the rainbow because he couldn't quite remember.
That's an interesting order right there.
To be fair, I've seen pictures of Chaput with regular clerics on, so I don't know.
We're going to go with Franciscan.
Oh, no.
Okay. Can you guys be more specific?
Okay. So he's a kind of Franciscan, should we say Capuchin?
Oh, yes. I'd go with that.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
That is
I,
it.
I re- what? Now that you say that, they introduced him that
way. OFM Capuchin. Yeah. Capuchin. Yeah.
This is the kind of help that Matt gives me in the podcast after I've done all the hard work. Yeah, that, totally.
I thought it was kind of, I don't know, appropriate in my mind that he was Franciscan just because, like, he's half Native American. You know, the whole thing about, like, nature and just, I don't know, it just seemed, like, fitting to me
and
that
it's
he would
like,
be Franciscan.
Capuchin Chapu.
Yeah, it sounds similar. Yeah, it does. It does.
David, did any of my colors associate with that?
No.
So he, what's cool is, I don't know if you guys have read any books by him, but he has one or two books about just being an American Catholic. But I think he has kind of a cool ancestry to talk about that because he's half Native American, but he's also half French Canadian. So like his ancestors were French Canadian. So just, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a cool, like American Catholic, background. So anyways,
yeah, I have his book, Strangers in a Strange Land.
Yeah, me too. I've read part of it. I make my junior church history class read the second chapter, which is sort of a rapid overview of the history of Catholicism in America. And I think it does a pretty good job of setting up like what our position is as Catholics and how different that was than the rest of the European nations at the time, like coming from a more Catholic background, we were the opposite. So
I need to read that.
Yeah. I wish I read that at that age.
I wish I had read that when I was teaching church history.
Thanks, Grace. Sorry. We need to talk more.
Clearly.
All right. Question number four, theme is the Great Divorce. This is a closest to question, so it's a number answer, and whoever gets the closest will get the points. In what year did King Henry VIII finally obtain a divorce from Catherine of Aragon, the scandal which also led to his effective divorce from the Catholic Church?
I need to start paying attention more. I've read Dialogue Concerning Heresies, I've seen A Man for All Seasons. I should know this.
So we're locked in. The Trappistas are locked in.
Well, my initial response is he never got a divorce from her because he didn't have the authority to do it.
Well, he never got a real annulment. You can get a divorce without getting an annulment.
David, when was the specific date of the Reformation? 1517?
I can only say 16th century. Other than that, pick a random number.
I know the 500-year anniversary was a couple years ago. So 1517, let's say, or 18. Let me think.
He had 17. He wrote a tract against Luther, so I don't know, let's say 10 years after that, maybe.
So that's so it was maybe after 20. Reformation 10 years, you think? 10, 15? Okay, so 15,
yeah, say 10 years.
27 is what we're going with.
Yeah, let's lock it in.
All right, Pints with Jack locks in with 1527 Trappistas.
Do you want to say anything?
I'm so bad with dates, like very, very bad with dates. Whenever anyone asks me a date question, I'm like, well,
You're like, we should go to McDonald's, we should go to Burger King. You're very bad with
April
dates.
April 25th.
Well, that is that's the perfect date because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light sweater.
My sister's wedding anniversary.
Is it really that amazing?
It's going to be Adam's wedding anniversary too. Adam's your friend. So early 1500s is the go-to. And I think Luther is around 1521 officially whenever he split with the church. Like I think that's whenever but maybe it was 1518. I got it backwards, but we put 1518. I know that I was doing a crossword puzzle earlier. And it said like a bride in an English bride or something in 1533. And the answer was Boleyn. And that was one of his later wives. And Catherine Aragon was his first wife who was Catholic, obviously, and Spanish. And so I think that would be earlier than 1533. So we put 1518.
So the answer is actually 1533.
Oh.
Because that's when he got the divorce. He was able to marry her.
Oh, see, we should have talked it out because I had no idea. But if I would have known that you had that information, I would have gone for later. closer to 15:33.
So the pints of Jack guys get the points because 15:27 is closer. So yeah, to answer all y'all's questions, 1517 was the year that Luther nailed the 95 theses on the door of the church. But
1518,
the break.
So a year after that.
A year after that, I don't know.
And I did know that. Henry worked with Thomas More to refute a lot of Luther's claims.
Yeah, he was named and so defender of faith.
And I remembered that, like, oh, it was 500 years ago because there was like a big thing of like an anniversary or whatever. And so if I would have remembered that, I could have kind of done backward math, but I basically just went to my default of dates. I'm scared.
Well, and then if 15, I would have talked it out, literally, I answered a crossword puzzle today that I knew of 1533, and I'm a doofus. I thought Anne Boleyn was his second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was his second wife, so I should have gotten it.
Yeah. But off to Catherine.
Oh, my goodness. Anne of Cleves. Right. That's my new, like, exclamation, like, so I don't curse. I just go, Anne of Cleves.
Well, there you go. All right. Question number five, category inklings.
I have an inkling I'm going to get this wrong.
I don't know. The Book of Kells is an illuminated manuscript of the four Gospels. Monks who painstakingly created illuminated manuscripts like these worked in a room in the monastery called a what?
Locked in.
Well, if they're locked in, David, I never even heard of the Book of Kells.
Wait, we are not locked in.
Oh wait, hang on. Are you not locked in?
No. Let's.
Are you unlocked?
We are. We thought we both knew the answer.
Okay. Nobody's talking about
it. It could be two answers, by the way. They're possibly.
So they're two different answers.
We're locked in.
What did you put down?
I put scriptorium.
I put biblicum, and my reasoning for biblicum is that the basement of Notre Dame Seminary, it's our bar, and it's the basement. It's like in the basement. It's our pub, and we call it the Biblicum.
I did not know it was y'all's bar.
Yeah, it's
the... Wait, is it below the library, or is it in a different area?
No, different area. You haven't been
that's
there.
That's the study
room. But I did take y'all on tour.
You did take us on tour.
But we call it the Biblicum, and the whole point is it's like where monks would go down to like copy scripture who was in the Biblicum. And you put scriptorium, which sounds very similar.
It's just different translations of the same word, honestly. But when I was studying art, when the Book of Kells came up and illuminated manuscripts and stuff, the scriptorium was definitely a term.
So I don't know. You want to say scriptorium or biblicum?
I was fairly confident of scriptorium. Well, I've never heard.
Let's put biblicum. Scriptorium, because I can totally imagine some doofus seminarian getting it wrong. I'm like, that's where they made the Bibles. It's the biblicum.
Or like think about like, so you know, it's literally just the word for book of Bible and things like that, that it just got translated differently or something.
Oh, but sure.
Scriptorium,
let's go scriptorium
is what I remember from art history.
At least it's not a vomitorium.
No.
Okay, so I'll tell that story later about vomitoriums. Okay, scriptorium is what we're locking in with. The Trappistas, we're writing our books of the Bible.
Pints with Jack.
Exactly the same.
Whew. At least we're both wrong.
Scriptorium is correct. When I search Biblicum, the only thing that comes up is it's the nickname for the Pontifical Biblical Institute, but I can't find anything about
not,
the room
not
being
the basement
called
in Notre Dame Seminary.
Yeah, not the basement. Not the basement in Notre Dame Seminary.
I thought you were going to say that.
When I search the word, all that comes up is biblical in Latin. Ooh, so
dude, scriptorium. That was close.
We got out of that one. Give me some skin. Wow.
Wowzers. Now we actually talked it out.
I've been telling people so many wrong things my whole life. I'm a bad tour guide.
One of the few nuggets of knowledge I actually retained from my art history classes.
Elizabeth, thank you.
You're welcome.
And if people haven't seen the book, I'd recommend them to go see it. I saw it in Ireland about 10, 15 years ago.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Beautiful.
So cool.
You can't read it. It's so
I want to go. Wait, Matt, are you going to the Navy Notre Dame game? Because if you are, I'm very, very jealous.
I'm going to Ireland this year. Yeah, I'm going, and I'm going to go 10 days early, and then I'm going to stop at Oxford on my way back.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. So I grew up a massive Navy fan. because my dad went to the academy instead of my grandfather. And actually, my grandpa went to Notre Dame for a year and then transferred to the Naval Academy. But we always grew up like big Navy fans, and we were always like, we liked Notre Dame, you know? And so I'm just super jealous because I would love to go.
What is this football of which you're speaking?
It's the real kind, David.
It's the one where we don't use our foot very often.
Makes sense.
By the way, a vomitorium wasn't really a place where you go and vomit because
Why
of some...
Why are we going back to this?
Really? Because I learned that in high school.
No, it's not. Like, yeah. Apparently, this is what I've heard. Maybe
I learned that about Roman society in high school. In
I think
class.
It's, I think it's like literally in the arenas where they would like, it's the doorways where it just means spew forth. So it's where people would walk out of the doorways. We need Mike Wilson to check fact that. Fact check that. The spear is good.
I'm pretty sure that's, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's basically the exit out into an arena.
Yeah, so it's a spew forth. So there was vomiting happening, but there wasn't a specific room for that to happen.
It's amazing what you get lied to about in high school.
Coming out of round one, we have the Trapistas with 15 and Pints with Jack with 25. That's pretty awesome. All of them correct. That rarely happens, especially when I write the episode. Woo-hoo! All right, so now we have the offertory round. So the offertory round is going to be a listing question. So each of the ones that you can put down will be worth 2 points. So you can rack up as many points as you possibly can. I want you... Oh, the theme is Chronicles, as in like Chronicles of Narnia. For 2 points each, list as many of the kings of Judah and or Israel as you can.
Holy moly.
As many of the kings of Judah and or Israel as you can. And I'm going to put 4 minutes on the clock.
Okay, ready? We're going to move to another room. Come on.
Go. Yeah, time's up. Okay. Time's up.
Okay, time's up. I'm locked
all right,
in.
I'm waiting for Elizabeth to get back from the bathroom.
How many did you guys guess?
12.
Oof. All right.
Is that okay? What'd y'all guess?
8, and some were pretty sketchy.
All right, so we will start with Pints with Jack. You can go ahead and list them.
Okay. Saul, David, Solomon, mm-hmm. Hezekiah. David thought Jesus Christ counts.
I feel like I can't not count.
No.
Yes.
Why not? He's the king of Judah.
He's the king of the Jews. It was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew.
That's... What I have written, I have written.
Grace.
What? Why is that wrong?
That's pretty mean.
Why is that mean?
I'm upset.
Herod the Great.
Okay.
Judas Maccabeus.
Okay.
Absalom, okay. And Zephaniah.
Zephaniah.
Oh, sorry, Zephaniah. That's the first time. That's what I was looking for. Is Absalom? Absalom, Absalom, my son. Absalom.
He said like.
But I have some beef with that. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Okay. So repeat. Go back to Absalom and then repeat again.
Just Absalom and Zephaniah.
Okay.
Was that the punt?
That was the punt. It's like, that sounds vaguely Hebrew. Zephaniah?
Sounds vaguely Hebrew.
Zephaniah. No. It's Zephaniah, not Zephaniah.
Okay. Trapistas.
Saul, David, Solomon, Ahaz, Ahab, just in case Ahaz wasn't right. Hezekiah, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, which is the split between North and South. Jack.
What? We said it's just
Jerubbabel, Abijah, and I put Abner, but I was looking for Absalom. I couldn't tell what David's son was, but I don't think Absalom was actually one of the kings. I think he wanted to be, but he was still alive, so he couldn't be. He was trying to kill his own dad, and he got his hair caught in the terebinth tree, and he got pierced in the side, and it's kind of this type of Christ. Okay, and then, but look, Herod the Great was just a puppet king, not real. I'm trying to
does
throw it down
there.
Does
he count as like a actual king of Judah or Israel?
No. That's okay. What I'm saying.
That's what
he's
I was
a
saying.
Puppet
I'm,
king.
I'm,
are you gonna are you gonna mansplain everything else? Or are you gonna let me tell you the answer?
Yeah, I think you should let the judge decide.
This is more priest-splaining, not mansplaining. It just so happens to be
hey,
his
I'm
priester.
A theology teacher. Thank you. Okay.
You go. All right, girl. You go, girl.
Okay, so
you're
I'm gonna list them out here.
The line of Judah roar.
I'm going to list them out. And so if you have them, if they're right, you put a little tick mark by them. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we start with Saul, David, and Solomon, which you all got. You're correct that Absalom was not one of the kings.
It's good that you didn't think of it, Father Brad. Oh.
So we have Rehoboam, which was the one that came after Solomon. The one who split apart was Jeroboam. So I think you guys had both of those. After Rehoboam was Abijah. I think somebody said that. Yes. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Athaliah. I don't think anyone said that. Ahaziah, Jehosa, Amasiah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz. That was one, right?
Yep.
Hezekiah. That was another one. Manasseh.
Ooh.
Amon, Josiah. And then there was Jehoaz, Zedekiah, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin.
They literally, the next guy had that very similar?
Similar name. Okay, so that was the line of Judah. Okay, so then from Jeroboam, you had Nadab, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, Omri, Ahab. That was another one.
Yes!
Oh my God! Ahab and Ahab! That was right!
Yes. Jehoram and
Jackson,
Ahaziah, Jehu, Jehoahaz, Jehoash, Jeroboam the second.
I feel bad laughing. But.
Zechariah.
So wait, if we would have put Jeroboam the second, would that have worked?
Oh, yeah. I thought about doing that because I knew that there was more than one.
Oh, dang.
Shalom, Menahem. I don't think y'all get the rest of them. Hosea. No, I think that was it for y'all. Yeah. So Herod doesn't count because he wasn't a real king. He called himself king, but he really wasn't. Judah. Oh, but yeah, I'll definitely count Jesus because I can't not count Jesus. He's a king.
Okay, formal protest for those two guesses because I think they were great.
Well, technically, Jesus says, you say that I'm the king of the Jews, but Jesus is the king of the universe.
True, but he's also the king of the Jews.
The Jews are part of the universe.
True, true, true. Yeah, you better be careful how you respond to that, Father Bradley.
No. I know that. I think there's some kind of logical fallacy in there, but I'm not even going to go there.
No, I don't think so.
You definitely don't.
So, somebody want to do that math? Coming out of the offertory.
35. And they're at 33.
We're at 33.
All right. So 35 for Pints with Jack, 33 for the Trappistas. Really close game.
Good comeback.
Call it a comeback.
Ahab coming in clutch.
Man, the only time he ever came in clutch. Am I right? Okay. Round two. So these are 7 points apiece. Question number one. Theme is England and Ireland. C.S. Lewis was born in Ireland, but eventually lived and died in England, which he famously hated at first. A famous Jesuit poet and convert to Catholicism traveled the opposite direction, being born in England and eventually died in Ireland, which he disliked.
That's funny.
Who is the Jesuit poet?
You're the poetry guy. You've been whipping them into all these podcasts lately. I expect
I don't know the background of them. I know it's like, this sounds pretty. I like this.
I know nothing of poetry.
Gerard Manley Hopkins is the only person I can think of. I'm not sure if he ever went to Ireland.
But he was a little bit before Lewis.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've just read the poetry and like it.
He was a Jesuit. Was Gerard Manley Hopkins a Jesuit?
He was definitely a religious, I think, a Jesuit.
Ah, well, locked in. Then that seems pretty. All right. Best guess. It's an educated guess, which it's all I care about.
Let's go with that. Okay. Minimally educated.
Trappistas.
We said it was come down to Francis Thompson, which I think I messed up in a previous episode thinking he was a Jesuit, and he's not. So we said Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Yeah, you both had it right. David said it right.
You had Hopkins. Okay.
Yeah, it was Hopkins. Okay. Yeah, so he actually did. He was sent, as a Jesuit, he was sent to Ireland in the last couple of years of his life. He actually died pretty young, but he... really hated living in Ireland and ended up passing away there. I think he had some sort of illness. But anyways, good job.
But did he end up liking Ireland ever?
No, he did not like it. He died there in the midst of his dislike. Yeah. All right. Second question, Screwtape letters. On what popular Catholic sacramental are the Latin initials for the following phrases inscribed? Let the holy cross be my light. Let not the dragon be my guide. Step back, Satan. Never tempt me with vain things. What you offer are evils. May you drink the poison yourself. So you're telling me the name of the sacramental. Roommates just walked in with a king cake.
Oh my God.
They're everywhere this time.
I
want
a slice. It's Sunday, baby. It's Sunday and carnival time. Carnival time. Okay, we're locked in.
Okay, Chepisas.
Pints with Jack is also locked in.
Okay. All right, Chepisas.
So the first time I saw the translation of this, like, I have one and I was like, yeah, okay, it's cool because I know it's like a really popular thing. But the first time I saw the translation of this was actually on Twitter. And when I saw it, I was like, I'm going to wear mine more now because that is amazing. And it's the Benedictine medal. Okay. And like, just think it's the coolest translation ever.
Drink your own poison.
Yes. That line especially.
Pints with Jack.
It sounds like a final line in an action flick from the 90s. I went to a Benedictine school, and I think Father Godric would be very upset with me if I didn't also say St. Benedict medal.
Good job. I feel like these questions are easier than normal. You guys are just smart.
No,
sometimes.
But people are learning.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself. These are not easy.
Seriously, if you like that translation.
If I didn't have David.
I want Randy Macho Man Savage to read that blessing.
Drink your own, snap into a Slim Jim, drink your own poison. Didn't he die recently?
Did he?
Oh. I'm pretty sure he died recently. Yeah. Oh.
Huh. All right. Question number three, that hideous strength. The third and final installment of Lewis's space trilogy can be categorized as a dystopian fiction. Another Catholic author, Walter Miller, of a dystopian novel, A Canticle for Leibowitz, was inspired by his own greatly regretted involvement in what event?
The Trappistas are locked in. We're swinging around with answers, eating our cheese.
Oh my gosh. The image.
Okay, I don't know this one for certain, but from what I recall from the book, it's a post-apocalyptic book. So I think there's been some atomic bomb. So I'm gonna say that. Development of the atomic bomb.
Okay. Pints with Jack is locked in with the atomic bomb. Trappistas?
That's a fantastic guess, David, because of the book. It is a bomb, but I'm just going to sing a song to give you my answer.
Oh, my God.
We love him. We love him.
You don't even know the words.
I don't know the words to that.
Come on.
I don't want to be a complete nerd.
It's from White Christmas. You guys know that.
So that scene happens at the ruins of Monte Cassino, mm-hmm. and he was part of the bombing of Monte Cassino.
He was. So Walter Miller was in the American military and was part of dropping bombs on Monte Cassino because they thought that there were German troops like hiding out there. It turns out there weren't very many, and they ended up destroying Saint Benedict's original monastery. And so he was so shaken by what he had been a part of, that was when I think he converted after the war to Catholicism, if I remember correctly. And he was so shaken by what he had done, then he became sort of obsessed with learning about monasticism and all these different things. And so that inspired his novel.
So when I read that book, I felt like it was a book I needed to read with a book club with smarter people than me, because I was just, I read it and then there were certain parts that I really enjoyed and that I got. And sometimes I was like, what? I am missing something. So Grace, if at some point y'all want to do it on Return By podcast.
We thought about it before in a book club.
Right. And I know that y'all usually do books that you want to read so that you can read them. But like, man, I just needed a book club for that book.
Question number four, the other Jack.
Don't call it a combat.
C.S. Lewis. Oh, actually, David, can you tell us why did C.S. Lewis want to be called Jack?
Well, his full name was Clive Staples Lewis, but I think he was about 4 years old. He then just insisted on only being referred to as Jaxie, and that eventually got shortened to Jack. And that was the name of his dead dog, which is very sad.
I know. So he missed his dog, so now Jaxie.
Mm-hmm. And that lasted throughout his life. And if people have read The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, it begins with the line, there once was a boy named Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. And that's somewhat autobiographical for Lewis.
I love it. All right. So based on that, I'm asking you about another Jack. What is Jack short for in whiskey maker Jack Daniel's name? So what does the Jack stand for in Jack Daniel's name? Your hint is that it's mentioned, this name is mentioned in the Book of Revelation, but it does not name a person in the Book of Revelation. It names something inanimate.
Oh, shoot.
I love Jack Daniel's. I don't know this.
Okay, hold on. We're taking off our headphones so y'all can talk.
What does Jack and Jack Daniel's stand for?
Yeah, it's the hint about the Book of Revelation is what I'm shooting for.
An inanimate object in there. So it's referenced, the actual name is, but not for a human, but an inanimate object.
Okay, Matt, in the Book of Revelation, there's a whole load of jewels listed. And I'm pretty certain it's probably one of them.
List them off.
I want you to help me. I don't know. It's like amethyst, topaz, I want to say Jacobite. That's not right. Jacobinth. Jacobinth. Oh my brain is telling me Jacobinth. I'm not entirely convinced, but we're going with that.
If you are correct on this, this would be the best one yet.
Okay, Pints with Jack locks in.
I can't wait to next time I have Jack Daniels with someone to share this knowledge.
That's what trivia is all about. Am I right?
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to go take a shot of Jack. So I can get this right.
Inspiration.
I just got to imbibe it. Imbibe the question. So our thoughts were this. We started naming things that were in Revelation, like trumpet, gold, jade. I don't know. I was just naming stones. But then we kind of settled on Jerusalem, which is a inanimate object. Jerusalem's coming out of heaven. That is in, and it's got a J in the front. And I could see a Protestant... Kind of like, you know, like in Pennsylvania, you have Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Nazareth, you have all these towns. And I could see someone in Tennessee in the mountains saying, Jerusalem Daniels.
Yep. And then maybe like C.S. Lewis being like, I don't want to be called Jerusalem anymore. I'm going to be called
I don't think that's where it comes from, though.
Oh. But the similar story to C.S. Lewis.
So that's what you guys lock in with, Jerusalem?
Jerusalem. I think it's Jerusalem.
Pints with Jack, what did you guys lock in with?
So our reasoning was that it was one of the stones that's mentioned, and there's a long list of them, and I couldn't quite remember. So I possibly made up a word and said Jacobinth.
Great. You just added inth at the end of Jack's name.
It sounds stony.
It sounds stony. It does.
His name was Peter.
No, I'm just checking out.
No. All right. So, no, actually, you guys are both wrong. Good guesses, though.
We had a good guess.
David, you were on the right track. You just couldn't come up with the name. The name is Jasper.
Dang.
Jasper.
Oh, you were kind of close with Jade. Yeah,
Jade isn't even close. One of the freaking things. Jade isn't one of the stones. If I would have just gone down that road.
So, it says something about the walls of the heavenly city made with Jasper. His name was Jasper. Newton Daniel. Jasper Newton Daniel. And funny enough, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page. It says that he was raised in the Primitive Baptist Church, which I find kind of funny that he became a whiskey maker. But anyway, there we
are. Rebel.
David, way to get really close.
Yeah, that was so very close.
As soon as Grace was about to say it, I suddenly remember Jasper. Ugh, idiot. Oh, well.
All right. Fifth question, final question of the second round. This theme is miracles. Only two miracles of Jesus, so miracles that were performed by Jesus, only two miracles of Jesus are found in all four gospels. Name them both for double points and one of them for single points.
Yeah, we're locked in.
Okay, Pints with Jack is locked in. And talk it out. Trapistas.
Well... If resurrection isn't a miracle, then what the hell is it?
Why are we Christian?
Why are we even Christian, St. Paul says, if you don't believe in that?
So if that's not an answer, it should be a third answer. But I believe there is a third, more mundane miracle. Well,
Wedding Feast of Cana is only in John.
It's one of the healings, I'm pretty sure. Because exorcisms is only in like one of them or not in all of them. I think it's only like John or something. Or
no, Mark. Okay, Mark would do the exorcism.
Then it's not. It's not one of the exorcisms. It's one of the healings. I remember learning this in
is it
my
healing
New
of the
class.
Blind man?
Maybe.
Is it when Jesus healed that person?
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Healing of that individual.
Are you sure that it's not feeding of the, like, feeding a multiplication of loaves? There's that.
I put that down. What did you put down for the first one?
Well, is that true? I don't think. Is that in Mark?
I don't know the Gospels well enough individually to know if they're all in there.
My instinct was
that they all had some version of it, even if it was small. But that was my gut reaction.
I think there's like two different times he did it. There's like the feeding the 5,000, and there's like 4,000, and one has fish, and the other one doesn't, and they all shared. I'm just sharing.
I remember being in another gospel.
We're gonna cut all this out, so don't feel.
You're
pressured.
Definitely gonna know the You're gospels better than I do.
Yeah, I am. I'm cutting all that out. What?
You're definitely know the gospels a little bit better than I do.
I don't know. I'm a bad priest.
Yeah, I know, but you.
Wait! You can't say yeah, but I know. I'm a bad priest. Yeah, we know but I'm really a bad layperson. So.
You have more exposure to the gospel than that. You say mass a lot. You have read mass a lot more than I am.
You underestimate my ability to zone out. No, I'm joking. Let's say healing of the blind man.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good
one. Blind will see, you know? Amazing grace.
Healing of the blind man. Okay, so we're going to lock in with the resurrection and the healing of the blind man.
All right. Trappistas, resurrection, healing of the blind man. Pints with Jack.
We are going to lock in with the resurrection and the feeding of the 5,000.
All right, so you are correct that it was the resurrection, and you, Pints with Jack, were correct that it was the feeding of the 5,000. It is true that there are other gospels that have feeding of the 4,000, but feeding of the 5,000 is in all four gospels.
That's
now,
what I was remembering
Jesus
from that class.
Does heal a blind person in all four gospels, but it's not the same person in all four gospels.
I said healing of blind man.
Two.
A blind man. Nope. Healing of a blind
man. How do we know it's not the same person?
Yeah, were you there?
Because he talks about two different ones in
historical
one
critical method. Said, let's go.
And another man came up to Jesus.
All right.
Another man who is absolutely not the other man who will be recounted in the other gospel.
This is
so
different.
Pints with Jack gets 14 and Trappistas get 7.
Oh, son of a biscuit eater.
All right. So how many points are we?
54 to 60 something.
What is it? 63 to 54. Okay. Still pretty close game. So this is going to be the extreme unction round.
Extreme unction.
So you can wager however many of those points you would like. And this is a listing question. So you're going to need some paper if you don't have it to copy down the categories here. There's actually 9 things. Okay. So I want you to write down the 9 things.
We got to wager before.
Oh yeah. You got to wager before. Okay. So don't tell me what your wager is, but tell me when you're locked in and you have your wager written down that both of your teammates agree on. For the wager, the category is Narnia meets the Bible.
We're locked in with our wager.
We got our wager. We're locked in.
Okay. All right. Pines of Jack's locked in. Okay. So here it is. So the category again is Narnia meets the Bible. Okay. So I'm going off of the titles to all of the 7 Narnia books. Okay. I want you to write down these 9 things. Okay. So I'm going to give you once everybody writes them all down, I'm going to start the clock and you're going to have 4 minutes to list something that goes with each of them. Okay. So you're going to have 4 minutes to name someone or something specific in the Bible in the following categories.
Oh, this is cool.
Okay. Number 1, a lion. Number 2, a prince. Number 3, a ship. Number 4, a throne. Number 5, a horse or horses. Number 6, a boy. Number 7, a magician. Number 8, a nephew. And number 9, a battle.
So this can be from the Bible or Narnia books?
No, this has to be all from the Bible.
All
from the Bible.
The Bible.
Okay. 4 minutes on the clock. Ready, go. Okay. I'm going to start with the trapezos. You guys list out each of your categories.
Why don't we just do one by one? So like you said,
one by one. Okay. Okay. So lion, trapezos.
We said Judah, the Lion of Judah.
Pints with Jack.
Same.
Number two, a prince, trapezos.
Moses, Prince of Egypt.
Pints with Jack.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
That's good.
That was my first answer.
Number three, a ship, trapezos.
Ark.
Pints with Jack.
Oh, that's a good one. We said Paul, the ship he took to Cyprus.
But what's the name of it?
You don't have to have the name.
What? We didn't know that.
She told us she didn't have
to. Oh, we didn't know that.
They asked. Sorry.
Oh, we like scrambled, man.
Yeah. No, you can, if you can point to a very specific instance. Yeah. So they said like the ship that he took to Cyprus.
We said that too. Legit.
But we didn't know the name of it. And we didn't know if it had a name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A throne, trapezos.
David's throne.
Pints with Jack.
Same.
Five, a horse, trapezos.
The four horsemen of the Revelation.
Of Revelation.
Pints with Jack.
Same thing, four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Number six, a boy, trapezos.
We're going to pull a Pints with Jack and we're just going to Jesus because he was a niño, el niño, the boy. He was a boy and he was a baby.
That's one of the mysteries of the rosary.
Pints with Jack.
Yeah, we said child Jesus in the temple.
Okay. Number seven, a magician, trapezos.
We said Simon the magician, where we get simony from, because he was a magician. It was in scripture.
Thanks for the explanation.
And
there.
I'll just say this.
It was a scripture.
Sounds like you're justifying.
I like how
that.
You're always trying to convince me that it's the right answer as if I'm not already going to accept the answer.
I cover my bases.
Pines with Jack.
Simon Margus.
Nice. Number eight, a nephew, trapezos.
Joseph.
So like Joseph is the nephew of Esau.
We made sure he was a nephew.
Cause we were like John the Baptist is Mary's nephew. And we're like, no, it's not. That's her first cousin once removed. And we're like, okay, so Esau, Jacob, Jacob's son, Joseph. Gotcha.
Joseph. Okay. Pints with Jack.
Lot.
Okay. Number nine, a battle, trapezos.
I locked in with the battle between the angels, Michael and Satan, and where the fallen angels were thrown out of heaven.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's a Maccabean revolt and the Maccabean war, but it's not specifically, they're made up of battles. So that's
I would consider it a battle.
Okay. Pints with Jack.
Battle of Jericho.
Oh, that's...
We overthink this.
I know, again, you explain as if that's what they're going to say, and it's not.
That's what I was thinking he thought he was going to say.
I was like, okay, that's really random. Nobody said anything about Maccabees, but okay.
That was my first answer, that's why. My first like gut reaction was Maccabees.
I was like, that's a war.
Okay, yeah, good job. Okay, so yeah, I think you guys all got all of those correct. So good job. A couple of other ones. Let's see. Was there ones that I didn't think? Oh, I was gonna
ask, was Moses actually a prince or is that just the Disney version?
No, he was the Prince of Egypt because he was adopted by the...
daughter of Pharaoh.
Yeah. So he was considered a prince, I believe.
Well, don't the Israelites say, who made you a prince over us? Implying that he wasn't.
Maybe that's just them being sassy.
I thought it was them being
well, who made you a prince over us? Pharaoh.
Yeah.
What's up?
No, I'm pretty sure he would be considered a prince because he was in the royal household. I mean, he was...
I consider...
Yeah.
Oh, sure, royal household. It was just prince.
I consider Disney canon. Actually, it was DreamWorks. It was DreamWorks.
Was it really?
It was DreamWorks.
Good to know. All right. Let's see if there's anything that I listed them out just to see. I also asked my roommate last night and they gave me some ones that none of us thought of. There were magicians in the Old Testament and some, what was that?
Oh, in Moses and the magicians in Pharaoh's court.
Okay. There was, I thought of the boy with the five loaves and the two fish.
Oh yeah.
Also the battle, I thought of the battle of the kings versus Abraham whenever he's going in to save Lot and then Melchizedek comes and offers sacrifice in Genesis.
And there's the one where Moses, and then Moses who has to keep up his arms?
Yes, the battle where Moses keeps up his arms. That was the one that my roommate thought of earlier. And then I thought of Jonathan as a prince as well. But
I love the first article I Googled said Moses was not likely considered a prince of Egypt.
Ooh.
Slimming, Salmon, Simon, Swanson?
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah. It's right here.
Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Okay, but wait a minute. So what did you guys wager? So does it even matter if you both got it right? What did y'all wager?
That's a great question.
We wagered 10 so that if they didn't bet anything and we got it, we would win. But if they bet, if they didn't get it and they bet substantially, we'd win and we wouldn't lose if they bet everything. But if they bet everything and we both got it, we'd just no way to win. So we bet 10.
Okay. So your final...
let me think if our number was correct, David. So I think we guessed they'd bet 10. So we did 19 in case we both lost, we'd still beat them.
So well, it doesn't matter.
So your final. So your final... points were what, Trapistas?
Oh, ours were 64.
And final points for Pints with Jack?
82.
Good job, Pints.
So my fault being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
Well right. done, everyone.
Yeah, this was good. You guys were smart at this game.
Pints with All Jack.
I like that last category. It was
the
fun.
Swiss Guards.
That was so much fun.
I'm glad.
Grace.
I had no idea what to expect.
Okay, well, thanks for joining, and we hope that maybe one day in the future you can be on another episode. I think y'all are great, y'all are smart, and we appreciate your podcast and what you're doing over there at Pints with Jack. We want to give you an opportunity to shout anything out, whether it's like a particular episode of y'all's or stuff you're reading or listening to, a saint, a prayer, a person. You want to ask someone out on a date? What is your state in life? What's your state in life, Matt?
I was literally about to go do it when you said something you're reading. I was about to go like deep theological and a shout out to like theosis. I've been reading a lot about that. And then you bring in a date or a girl and now I feel like I can't go deep.
You do whatever you want.
You can go deep. You do you.
Well, no, first, I mean, it was absolutely a pleasure to be on here. I mean, I can say Dave and I would probably love to be back. This is a blast. You know, I'll give a shout out to the season one of our podcast, Mere Christianity, because that I just gave a talk on this actually at Notre Dame a couple weeks ago, the Edith Stein Conference, and essentially how Lewis revolutionized my understanding of theosis. The Son of God became man, so men could become sons of God. And I never knew that when I read Mere Christianity the first time, but when we went through it in detail, that last book where he talks about becoming new men, it just blew my mind. And then, assuming most of the listeners here are Catholic, ultimately brought me to understanding the divine life and how it's the definition of the sacraments literally have that this is the mechanism that was instituted in the church to transmit the divine life. And it took Lewis to open my eyes up to that. And it's revolutionized my faith and why I now go to daily mass because of Mere Christianity.
That's awesome.
There you go. Good job. So maybe people can check that out and they'll have similar experiences.
Yeah, I just finished the first season because I'm kind of backlogged, but it was, and I've read Mere Christianity before. So being able to kind of re-experience it through the podcast was amazing and really great. Being able to do it while I'm washing dishes or weeding the garden or something and is really awesome that I'm like, oh yeah, I did not pick that up. Or, oh yeah, I really remembered that part. I love that part or whatever. That's it's awesome. Great.
I did the same thing, but with The Great Divorce. So like that's when I first discovered the podcast was when you guys were just finishing up The Great Divorce. And so I had just read that like a year previous. And so that was really great. I need to go back and do the Mere Christianity one though, because I haven't read that since high school.
The Great Divorce is one of my favorite books. I love it so much.
David's my favorite too.
And I'm really pleased that you got to experience it in that way, because that's part of the reason why we do the podcast, because a lot of people don't have the people around them to do a book club, or they want to go deeper into a book and nobody really wants to talk about it, or maybe they read it a long time ago, got a lot out of it, but haven't touched it in a long while. And our podcast allows them to basically join in our online Bible study. And we actually just launched a Slack channel, and that's just been fantastic, because we then have listeners talking among themselves about the book, which we're currently reading.
Oh, very that's cool. Yeah, that's we'll talk later off. About what that is.
And for shout-outs, I would just like to dedicate this victory to my girlfriend, Mary, who is just wonderful and amazing and beautiful.
You know the proper use of a shout-out, David. Clutch, man. Okay, so Elizabeth.
My shout-out is to my writing group that is very newly formed in like November. I'm in a writing group in my local library, and it's been very helpful and beneficial. And then it's brutal, and it like is making me a much better writer, but at like the cost of me being like coming home being like, oh my gosh, I'm not a good writer. So I'm trying to write a book and trying to really do what C.S. Lewis did of And you all say on your podcast all the time where he says, you know, getting past the dragons of trying to write a story that has those truths, but without being so overtly where someone goes, oh, I don't want to read this. So it's, you know, I'm trying to write the fantasy where it's imbued with those kind of values and being a better writer. But I found that I really wanted encouragement and I wanted people of the same mind, and the same kind of spirit of like, we're creating things that are good, true, and beautiful. And not just like, okay, your grammar's bad or something like that. So I kind of tried to scrap together a couple people I knew who had the same desire or wanted to create something that was in writing. So I made a little group of the wordsmiths, and we're a small little baby group that we're still struggling to get our bearings of how our meetings even go. But just even the encouragement that we give each other and the, oh my gosh, wait, you have to read this book, of this will really help you in your research, or like, oh, here's a whatever, is really nice. And so just a shout out to everyone for jumping in with me on that kind of harebrained adventure that is our little wordsmiths meeting that we have to literally video in to, because we're all spread off across cities and the country, really. But I just love our little group so far, and I'm always refreshed after our meetings.
Gotcha. I want to shout out, this is just really random, but I happened to walk past the window earlier. I have this incredibly beautiful Japanese magnolia tree in my backyard, and it's just making me so happy every time I walk past the window. It's very, very spring here. It probably isn't up where you are, Matt, but it is down here.
No, it's
here,
not. It's snowing. I ran in 20 degrees today.
Oh, yuck. Oh my gosh. Come down to Louisiana for Mardi Gras next week.
Oh, that sounds heavenly.
Please do. But anyways, yeah, it's beautiful. So I'm happy that it's spring. I'm such a summer person. I can't stand the cold. So I'm just happy that everything's starting to turn and change green and all of that.
Thanks everyone for joining. My simple shout out is, we're in Lent when you're hearing this. So I want you to start making plans and weeks to come for whenever Holy Week comes, to go to one of the Triduum masses or services, because Good Friday is not a mass, but either Holy Thursday, Good Friday service of the Lord's death, and or the Easter Vigil, and just make it a priority if you can. Obviously not everyone can, but that is kind of the high point of the Christian liturgical year. It isn't kind of, it is, even though we mostly think of Christmas a lot of times in the West. So really go make an effort to find your parish, find a good Triduum to attend at least one of the services. So guys, if you join us, we're going to say an Hail Mary, dedicate this podcast and y'all's, you know, future y'all's podcast and y'all's ministry through her intercession. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to The Quizzical Papist, joined with the guys from Pints with Jack. If you like what you heard, go give us a review. Go on iTunes, scroll down, a little simple review, 5 stars, hopefully, if we've earned it. And tell us where you're listening from. We love hearing where you're listening from. If you want to submit a question to be asked on the show, just email us at quizzicalpapist@gmail.com. We will ask your question and then we'll give you a shout out. If you want to support us, if you have the means to be able to support us just for a little bit to offset some of the costs of equipment and subscriptions and different things like that, go to patreon.com/quizzicalpapist. That's patreon.com/quizzicalpapist. Have a good Lent. We will see you next time. God bless.
Father Brad once said, I've said this before, he once came from a CrossFit competition and slouched down on my couch and pouted for about 5 minutes and then said, if I hated sinning as much as I hated losing, I would be a saint by now.
A horse, not Paul falling off his horse, because that doesn't exist. I mean, I can think of Balaam's ass.